Let's look at God's extraordinary people. During Jesus' lifetime, he taught and preached in various locations throughout Israel, and one day he faced a multitude of perhaps 15,000 people. He had taught them for about 3 days, and they were hungry. So Jesus suggested or commanded that everybody sit down, that the apostles give them food. Well, there was a young boy there in that great crowd. He had a little lunch, a little boy's lunch. I imagine his very far-sighted mother had sent this lunch because she heard that sometimes Jesus preached a long time. One of Jesus' apostles said, "Jesus, you want us to feed this multitude? Well, all we have is this little boy's lunch, a couple of fish and some barley loaves. How far would that go among so many people?" Jesus said, "Bring them to me." Jesus took this little food and began to break it, and it multiplied, and it multiplied, and it multiplied. And suddenly, there was food for all these people, and it says that they all ate and were satisfied, fully satisfied. You see, an ordinary event took on extraordinary meaning that day. A little boy's lunch. Plain, usual, common lunch became extraordinary in the hands of Jesus. This mother's instinct to send a lunch with her little boy took on huge meaning because Jesus took that lunch in his hands. So the ordinary became extraordinary. But you know what? As a child of God, you are extraordinary. Every one of us becomes extraordinary whenever God takes us into His family. God sees us as extraordinary people. But you know, our first result, our first remark will be, "Well, hey, I'm not extraordinary. I only do ordinary things." Well, that's the way we ordinarily think. Extraordinary people do extraordinary things, and because I do everything that's plain and usual, I just take care of my family, I go to work, I'm not anything special, I can't be extraordinary. God says you are. In the New Testament, slaves didn't want to be slaves because they thought that was beneath their dignity. Some people wanted to be the head of the church instead of being the servant of the church. It's just that way. We think that if you are extraordinary, you will do extraordinary things. So we constantly downgrade ourselves. But you see, brother and sister, it's not what you do that makes you extraordinary. It's who you are. Look at how God judges our value. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7.
"The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
It plainly tells us, God doesn't look at things that we look at. He doesn't consider valuable the things we consider valuable. He looks at the heart. God declares that we are extraordinary, that we have been raised with Jesus. We are something special. We are more than mere humans because we belong to Him. So God actually pronounces us as extraordinary. Look at what God says about you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17.
"The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing."
Did you hear that? God takes great delight in you, in your person. He takes great delight in you. And then it goes on and says, "He will rejoice over you with singing." Yes, God sings, and you are the source of His sound. You are the reason of His singing heart. You are His child. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to do anything. Just be you, and He loves you. And you set His feet a-dancing and His heart a-singing. Look at what God says about you in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6.
The Lord your God has chosen you to be his people, his treasured possession.
God chose you to be his treasured possession. Can you imagine that? Do you ever call yourself treasured possession? No, you don't. No, we don't. Because we say, oh, I'm just a plain old person. No, you're not. You're exalted by God. You were raised with Jesus. You are his treasured possession. Look at the same book, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 2.
The Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession.
How plain. Chosen to be his treasured possession. You are God's treasured possession because of choice, not because of what you do or what you don't do. Same book, Deuteronomy 26, verse number 18.
And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession.
He declares, he announces, he proclaims that we are his people, his treasured possession. God values people who only perform the ordinary. He values dads and moms who go to work day after day to support their family. He values students who faithfully attend classes and do their assignments. He faithfully watches over the Sunday school teacher, the church worker, who only performs the ordinary. I was once very discouraged and downhearted about my ministry. I felt it was not going any place. But one day I read Matthew chapter 3. Verse number 17, a verse I'd read many, many times before. And notice what it says.
And the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Here Heavenly Father announced from heaven, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus was about 30 years old. And as I read this, it says that God, the Father, was well pleased with Jesus. And then I remembered, Jesus had performed no miracles, raised no one from the dead. He had not taught, preached. He hadn't done anything special or spiritual. He had been a carpenter. In fact, the Gospels calls him a carpenter. Basically, he had raised his family. Joseph had probably passed away. It looks like his eldest son of the family. Jesus became the breadwinner of the family. And so he had done nothing unusual for all these 30 years. But Father said, "I'm well pleased with him." You see, Father's well pleased with us because of who we are, not because of what we do. We do ordinary things, things that seem drudgery, yet our faithfulness delights his heart. Look with me at Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 42 through 44.
But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Jesus sees things so differently than us. This little widow lady, this poverty-stricken widow lady, put in a fraction of a penny in the offering, and yet Jesus said that her offering exceeded everyone else's. Because, you see, God valued her. Her gift was simply an expression of her love for him. So as I read these stories, I realized that Jesus valued me and that I was truly his treasure possession, although I pastored a small, insignificant church in a small, insignificant town. And it encouraged me to keep going, keep doing what God wants me to do. God makes you extraordinary. John 15, verse number 16, Jesus points out, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Think about that. The God of the universe purposefully chose you. On purpose, he selected you and me. That selection makes us extraordinary. We are more than mere humans. We are sons, daughters of God, who are valuable to God. We put a song in his heart. He rejoices over us. just because of who we are. So, brother, sister, don't be downhearted because you're not doing anything for God. Maybe you're retired and there's not a whole lot you can do for the Lord anymore. Well, start thinking about who you are and how God feels about you. Read the Word as if God was describing you. He's singing about you. Look with me, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light.
There God describes you. You are a chosen people. A chosen people. You didn't become God's by accident. You became His possession by His choice. So God makes us extraordinary. And extraordinary people perform extraordinary deeds. Again, a mistake in judgment. We think that deeds give meaning to the people. We think that you're famous if you can do great things, perform great athletic skills, make lots and lots of money, get elected to office. We think that we do extraordinary things if we are extraordinary people. But look at this verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, verse 23. Here are the words of Jesus.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Jesus was speaking to those people who had done the extraordinary. They had driven out demons. They had performed miracles. They had done all kinds of wonderful things. But Jesus said, I never knew you. So you see, our idea, our human idea, that deeds give meaning to people is incorrect. The correct way to look at life, the person gives meaning to the deed. The person gives meaning to the deed. Look with me. The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse number 42.
And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward.
Jesus said, if you just give a cup of cold water. Now, how significant is that? Merely giving a cup of cold water. Nobody thinks of that as unusual. No, we don't. But Jesus does. In fact, it says that Jesus promised a reward. A reward in heaven for doing the mere act of giving a cup of cold water. So you see, it's not the cup of cold water that matters. It's the person giving the cup of cold water that's valuable, that's extraordinary. Read with me the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23.
Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men.
Paul wrote to slaves and said, do whatever you do as unto the Lord. You see, nobody wants to be a slave. Nobody wants to carry out the garbage and feed the animals and be a servant. But Paul said to these slaves, do whatever you do as unto the Lord, not unto men. Because it's not what you do that makes you extraordinary, unusual. It's who you are. Now, I gave my life to Jesus fully when I was about 17 years old. I was a poor student in school. But between my junior and senior year of high school, I gave my life to Jesus and found a new relationship, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Went back to school my senior year, and my grades that ran C's and D's and F's became 5 A's and 1 B+. Because I read Colossians 3:23, And I realized that my studies were important to God and that they weren't something that I should ignore or discount. They were valuable to God. And so I started studying for God and not for teachers. I started studying for the Lord and not for grades, and my grades automatically went up. So, brother, sister, I don't care what your job, what your duties, what your responsibilities. Do it as unto the Lord, because you are giving meaning to what you are doing. God is taking account of all you are doing. He is keeping accurate records. He notices. No one else may notice. No one else may care. But God cares, and He's going to reward you. Read with me Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse number 9.
I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
Here was a lady. She took a perfume box, broke it open, poured this ointment on Jesus. His own disciples ridiculed her. They complained. And yet Jesus said, her action is so significant, it's going to be told and retold through the centuries. So you see, her action was important because of who she was. Dolores and I pastored a church once in which a family attended, and they had been through some difficult times. I think the husband had been through an accident on the job that had impaired his ability to work. And his wife decided to start taking in children, open up a daycare. Well, this meant that she had to change lots and lots of diapers. But let me tell you what happened. One morning at church, I was ministering and even using these Colossians verses which say, whatever you do, do it to the Lord and not unto men. And I said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, even if it's changing diapers. Now, I didn't premeditate that statement. That idea wasn't in my notes. I just spoke it. That week, this precious lady called me and said, Pastor, I came to church so discouraged that morning. I didn't want to see another dirty diaper. I didn't want to ever deal with children anymore. But you said that we should change diapers as unto the Lord and not unto men. And Pastor, I left church encouraged. I am going on. Because our deeds might be usual, plain, unnoticeable, but we are extraordinary. I was pastoring another little church once, and this church was so small that I was janitor, pastor, lawn crew, Sunday school teacher. I did everything except keep the books. And one day as I was mowing the lawn, I was complaining to the Lord. God, I'm pastor. I shouldn't have to be out here mowing this lawn. I shouldn't have to be painting the concrete floors. God, I just don't like the way things are going. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'll repay you and reward you for every blade of grass you cut. I stopped my mowing. And I began calculating how many blades of grass are in a square foot. You know, that's a lot of rewards. How many blades of grass are in a square foot? I don't know. But there are lots of them. And I became the most enthusiastic lawnmower in the whole town. I almost went to my neighbors and said, hey, can I cut your grass? Because I was figuring on lots and lots and lots of rewards. Cutting grass is nothing special about that. But I'm special, and that made lawn mowing special in the eyes of the Lord. So, brother, sister, we want to believe that what we are doing is extraordinary, no matter how plain it might seem. And extraordinary deeds receive extraordinary rewards. Read with me, please, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse number 7. In fact, this is a verse that we're going to use at the close of every one of our programs. 2 Chronicles 15, 7 says,
but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded.
Your work will be rewarded. Be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded, is what the scripture says. So we want to keep on going on. We want to keep putting one foot in front of another because we're going to receive extraordinary rewards for the plain, usual, daily routine we carry out. It was the late 70s. It was a Sunday night service. It was the first time they had played the Super Bowl late in the afternoon. Before 1978 or so, the Super Bowl was always played in the middle of the day, and the Super Bowl would be finished before Sunday night service was scheduled to start. Well, this year, they changed the schedule. We showed up at Sunday night service. Usually there was a good group of people there. But this night, there was my wife, Dolores, playing the piano, me, and one lady. It was time to start the service, and I had always been punctual. But that night, I said, well, I'm going to wait for some people to come. A few people came in, a few stragglers, and then visitors showed up. Here was this auditorium that seated over 200 people, and we had 17 people for Sunday night service, and about half of them were visitors. And I was sitting on the platform, delaying the start of the service, and I was growing angrier and angrier. I could hardly wait to tell those deacons what I thought of them not coming into the service on Sunday night. As I was sitting on that platform, the Lord just helped me so much. I felt Him say, preach like there's 1,000 people here. I straightened up. I put away my anger. I stood up behind that pulpit. I led the service. And believe it or not, I led the singing. The song leader didn't show up that night. I led the singing. I preached like there were 1,000 people there. And then I invited people to the front for ministry. There was a young couple there. They were visitors. They received Jesus as their Lord that night. They gave their lives to Jesus. Went on with Jesus. They continued attending service. They grew in the Lord. They got rid of their bad habits, their sinful life, and became managers of a Christian camp in Missouri. You know, if I had just remained angry and upset, that couple may not have ever accepted Jesus as their Savior. But God was giving me an extraordinary reward for faithfulness that night. So God is speaking to you and to me to start looking at ourselves the way God sees us. No, we're not superior to other people. That isn't what extraordinary means. We're not better than other people. Not at all. We are the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. But we are children of God by God's choice. We are extraordinary to Him, and so we should consider ourselves as His special people. Put our hand to whatever we're doing with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our might. We ought to appreciate ourselves as God's special people and appreciate the things we do, even though they're very mundane and nothing spectacular about them. We do them with all our heart. Because God has promised us reward. Read with me our last verse, Jeremiah, please. Chapter 31, verse number 16. Here the Bible says,
this is what the Lord says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord.
Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded. Plain as day. God said it. That's the way it's going to be. God is going to reward every one of us because of our faithfulness to Him. There was a little boy born to an alcoholic father and a non-Christian mother. His lungs collapsed when he was born, but they revived him. He grew up to have asthma and other respiratory complications. He looked like a nobody going no place. Had to drop out of school in the eighth grade. But there was a church nearby. In this church, a boys' Sunday school class teacher heard about Joel. And he took his Sunday school class each Sunday morning four or five boys traipsed along behind the Sunday school teacher carrying their folding chairs to Joel's home. And they held Sunday school class in this little boy's home in his bedroom. And he heard about the gospel. Joel received Jesus as a Savior, but he was still bedfast, unable to go to school. This teacher, these little boys in his class believed that Jesus healed bodies. They began praying for Joel's divine healing. And soon, Joel began to respond to prayer. God healed Joel, and he was able to return to school his sophomore year. Then he received more and more of God's grace and work in his life. He went to Peru as a missionary intern, and while he was down there, the Lord called Joel to the ministry. His body became so strong and so healthy that he decided he was going to pursue missionary work. He went to Bible college, married a young woman, they had children, and went to Madagascar as missionaries. And now they serve in the Republic of South Africa as missionaries because of one Sunday school teacher who traipsed down the street to this home of this alcoholic father and told his son about Jesus. And Joel is preaching the gospel in Africa today because of a faithful Sunday school teacher. You are extraordinary. Whether or not you want to admit it. Jesus, encourage us, bless us, help us to keep putting our hand to the plow all the time because we are extraordinary people doing extraordinary things and going to receive extraordinary rewards. In the name of the Lord, amen.